chapter 3, so if you want to go ahead and find
your place there, we'll get started in just a moment. Let me just mention, Kim had a call. There's a lady wanted some of the Proverbs books for Christmas, and so we had been keeping some at the house, and that's mainly where people called and wanted them. And so we've had, this same lady, she's probably got 20 of them, I guess, and she wanted 12 more. And I went over there to look and get some tonight, and we're down to the last box of books. And so if anybody wants a Proverbs book, just see me or Sister Kim. When they're gone, that's the end of those books. I mean, we could get them printed again, but as far as this run, we've sold all those books, however many there was. I can't even remember. Was it 2,500 or 500? 500 books. And so those are almost all gone. So if anybody wanted one for a Christmas gift or something like that, there's just a few left. And I've got some promised, two or three, to Brother Terry Compton. And so there's probably just 10 or 14 books left after that. So I thought I'd mention that and let you know. Judges chapter number 3. We're only going to read two verses tonight. We're going to read the last verse in verse number 31. And then we're going to read one verse over in chapter number 5. And this is talking about a judge whose name is Shamgar. And that just sounds to me like a manly name. I mean, I don't know anybody named Shamgar, but if you met somebody named Shamgar, I bet you'd sit up and pay attention. You'd say, I never met anybody named that, but that sounds like this is going to be a special individual. And so he is. And the Bible says in Judges chapter 3 and verse number 31, it says, and after him, that's talking about after Ehud, we looked at last week, but and after him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad. And he also delivered Israel. Now look over in chapter number 5. Now in chapter number 5, it's called the Song of Deborah and Barak. And in that song, it gives a little history of what had gone on, and it mentions Shamgar again. And so in Judges chapter number 5 and verse number 6, the Bible says, in the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied, and the travelers walked through byways. The inhabitants of the villages ceased. They ceased in Israel until that I arose, a mother in Israel. And we'll get into that in time. But those two places are the only two places in the Bible that Shamgar is mentioned. We're coming down to the end of Judges chapter number 3. We've just been now 3 or 4 or 5 weeks. I don't know. I don't have it before me, but we've been just a short time in the book of Judges. Judges chapter 3 has three judges. And tonight we're going to look at the last one. But the three judges, we started with a judge named Othniel. Then last week we looked at a judge named Ehud. And then tonight we're going to look at Shamgar. So in Judges chapter number 3, there are three judges. There are three different enemies that are mentioned, or enemies at different times. Othniel, he went against King, and I said when I preached on this, I'd just eventually call him King C.R. He's got, in verse number 10, that big long name, Cushan, Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia. And so there was that king that he went against and delivered the children of Israel. And then there's King Eglon that we looked at last week. And King Eglon, he had some alliances. He was the king of Moab, so you had the Moabites. And then in verses 12 and 13 also are mentioned the children of Ammon and Amalek. And we talked about the Ammonites and the Amalekites and the Moabites and how that they were all a type of the flesh, and they just continually pop up over and over and over again, and they're a continual thorn in the side of the children of Israel. And so there's three judges. There's three different enemies that are mentioned here in verse number 31. We're going to find that Shamgar goes up against the Philistines. And so we've got all these enemies that come against the children of Israel. And then if we study and look at the chapter as a whole, there are three methods of deliverance. Othniel went out to war. He just went to war. He gathered men together. He gathered an army together. And he went out and made war. That's what the Bible says in verse 10. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel and went out to war. And so he went out in a very very common manner of nations going against nations. And that's how he delivered the nation of Israel. And then we studied about Eglon last week and Ehud. And Ehud, the Bible said in verse 16, made him a dagger which had two edges of a cubit's length. And he did gird it under his raiment upon his right thigh. And he went and he assassinated King Eglon. And then after that, he went and they gathered men together and they killed about 10,000 men is what the Bible says. But how he delivered Israel through assassinating the king of the Moabites, King Eglon. And then tonight we're going to see that this man named Shamgar, he uses an ox goad. And so we're going to look at that tonight. And there's some lessons in all of this. If we just think about the chapter as a whole, just getting into it tonight by way of introduction, we could say this. We could say that God uses different people. Othniel, Ehud, Shamgar, they're all different. They all go about it a different way. They're all from different, not long different time periods, but you know, they're all different. And so God, he's able to use different people in different ways. And as I was thinking about it, I also thought about this. What works in one situation may not work in another situation. One time they went out to war. Another time their victory was started by one man took care of another man. Then tonight we're going to see Shamgar. He goes about delivering the children of Israel in a completely different way than the others did. And so what works in our lives, in when we have enemies, when we have problems, when we come up against the power of the flesh in our lives, what helps us one time may not be how God uses to deliver us the next time. God is not limited in the way that he does things. He always does things right. He always does things according to the scripture. But what works in one situation may not work in another situation. And so we have to be careful about when we give advice to somebody and we say, well, I done this. Well, that's good, and the Lord may have helped you, but somebody else, that may or may not help them. And so we just recognize that as we look at this. I think about this also. Satan's attacks are multi-pronged. And what I mean by that tonight, wouldn't it be nice if we only had one enemy? If we only had one problem in our lives, if it was just the Philistines, if it was just the Moabites, if it was just the children of Ammon, you know, you'd think you could eventually go and wipe all of them out and we wouldn't have any problems anymore. But that is not how life is. You have one enemy coming from one direction and you have another enemy coming from another direction, and one attacks one way and one attacks another way. And so we have these nations, and they surround the children of Israel, and they come sometimes together and they come sometimes one at a time. But here's how life is. There's always going to be problems. We're always going to have, as long as we live, all kinds of problems, all kinds of enemies, all kinds of trouble with the flesh. They're varied and all like that. Thankfully, most of the time, they don't all attack at once. You'll have one here, one there, sometimes two things going on. But the Lord doesn't put on us more than we can stand. And so we might defeat one enemy, but it won't be long. Here will come another one right after that. And we find that in chapter number 3. There's one deliverance, and then there's another deliverance, and then here comes the Philistines. And we'll find the Philistines come up over and over and over again, all the way through the times of David. You remember that Goliath was a Philistine. And so they have problems with these same nations over and over and over again. Now, the book of Judges is the type of the last days. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. The book of Judges is also, we've said, a type of our fleshly battles that we have in this life. And so this ought to help us as we think about the things we go through in our own personal lives. We can say this about Shamgar, and I'm going to start in chapter number 5 and just sort of look at verse number 6. We can say this about Shamgar. Shamgar lived in perilous times. He lived in dangerous times. He delivered the children of Israel. This is a very dangerous time in which they lived in. And what verse number 6 is talking about is this. Let's read that verse and then we'll go somewhere else. The Bible said in verse 6, in the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied and the travelers walked through byways. That's describing, and we'll explain what that's talking about in just a few minutes, but they lived in dangerous times, perilous times. It's interesting that Shamgar used an ox goad. The Bible doesn't say that he used a spear, a sword, or anything which would be a common utensil to go out to battle with at that time. But Shamgar, he used an ox goad. Now, look over in 1 Samuel chapter number 13. The Philistines were a very oppressive enemy. And any time they got to be the head over the children of Israel, they made sure to take their freedoms away and to take their liberties away that they had. They took away the means that Israel had to defend themselves, and they would not allow Israel to have an opportunity to manufacture swords, spears, shields, anything made of iron and metals. If you look over in 1 Samuel chapter number 13, I'll show you what I'm talking about. 1 Samuel chapter 13 and verse number 19. Now this is very shortly. Samuel was the last judge. And we find that this is during the days of King Saul and Jonathan. And the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 13 verse 19, now there was no smith found throughout all the land of Israel. That's talking about a blacksmith, somebody that works with iron and metal. It says, no smith found throughout all the land of Israel. For the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make them swords or spears. But all the Israelites went down to the Philistines to sharpen every man his share and his coulter and his axe and his mattock. These are farming tools. These are tools that you'd use to build a house with, to cut down trees with. And the Israelites had to go to the Philistines just to sharpen their tools. Yet they had a file for the mattocks and for the coulters and for the forks and for the axes and to sharpen the goads. Now that's what we're going to see. Shamgar, he had an ox goad. And so they had a file that they could work on some of their tools, but they didn't have the means to make anything, to make swords and spears. And verse 22 said, so it came to pass in the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan, but with Saul and with Jonathan, his son, was there found. So even in the days of King Saul, to have a sword or a spear was a very rare thing. The Philistines had oppressed the children of Israel to the point that they could not even arm themselves. And so when we find a society even today that is unarmed, usually that society is one that is oppressed. It's one that lives under tyranny and bondage, and they have no liberty, they have no freedom, they have no ability to defend themselves. And if you notice in the book of 1 Samuel there, only the bad guys have weapons. And that's exactly how it is today. If you had a law that came along and said, okay, we're going to outlaw all the guns. Nobody needs any guns or knives or anything like that. You know what would happen? Only the bad guys, only the criminals, only the oppressors. And so we find that principle in the Bible, and that's why you'll find preachers and Christians that feel very strongly that God has given us a right to defend ourselves. The children of Israel did not have the ability to defend themselves, and therefore the Philistines lorded over them. And they were oppressed and they were in bondage. And so we find this, this is the day, this is how it was when Shamgar judged the children of Israel. What it's talking about in chapter 5 in verse number 6, and remember, now they are under the oppression of the Philistines, and the Bible says in chapter 5, verse 6, in the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied, and the travelers walked through byways. What that means is simply this: it was so dangerous during the days of Shamgar that you couldn't travel the main roads. If you wanted to go somewhere, you had to travel by a byway. Now, a byway, it means this. It means a secluded, a private, or an obscure way. In order to travel around, they had to sneak around. They couldn't travel on the main roads. Now, when I come to church, I get out on 421 and I go up to 105 and I come down 105 and I get on Baird's Creek Road and it's 6.5 miles and I can be here in about 10 or 15 minutes. That's the highway. But you know, there's more than one way to get over here. If I had to, if there was some kind of danger, if there was something, happening in our society that I had to get over here undetected, I could walk over here. You know, I could go up the way they used to get over here. They'd go up behind Brushy Fork, and they'd go up the head of Arnett Holler, and they'd come down, and they'd come around the side of the hill here. I could get here that way. I could go up in the other direction. I could go up to the head of Ward Green Road, and at the end of that, I could walk down this holler, and I could come out Love Holler. And we'd done that when we were kids one time. I could walk straight up the mountain behind the church and over, and I could come out the head of Ralph Wilson Road and walk down through that valley, and I could get home that way. And it might be shorter mile-wise, but I promise it would take a whole lot longer to get here. There's a whole lot more briars and things that there was years ago. But that would be a byway. That would be a private, a obscure way. If we couldn't get out here on the main, if our country was in such a state that we could not travel on the main roads, that would be an emergency. That'd be a day. If you couldn't get out here on the main road and travel, but you had to walk through the woods and sneak around to go places, would that not be a dangerous? That'd be an emergency situation. Well, that's how it was in Shamgar's day. In Shamgar's day, they could not travel the highways. Those that traveled had to use the byways because the Philistines were so evil and wicked and oppressive that they constantly raided and oppressed and molested the children of Israel. So it was perilous times. Dangerous times when we're talking about the days that Shamgar lived in. And so Shamgar's days were days of fear. They were days of frustration. That would be so frustrating. To say once upon a time I could be in Boone and I could go to the grocery store and be back home in 30 minutes. And now I can't go anywhere. I can't get anything like that. Everything has changed. That's how it was. Days of fear, days of frustration. But God used this man named Shamgar. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us a great deal about Shamgar, but I believe we learn enough by reading and these two verses and then understanding what else is going on to see that God was able to use Shamgar. What can we say about Shamgar? Number one tonight, Shamgar was a worker. He was a worker. It says in verse number 31 that Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad. And he also delivered Israel. Now, the reason I believe that he was a worker, the big hint there is that he carried an ox goad. So if he's got an ox goad, I believe that the reason he would have an ox goad is because he had oxen. He's a man that worked oxen and used the oxen probably to plow not only his own fields, but the fields of other people that maybe did not have oxen. We might call Shamgar a bivocational preacher. You know what that is? That's somebody that preaches and they also work and they have a job out here in the world. Well, that's sort of how Shamgar was. Part of the time he plowed the fields with his oxen, and then part of the time he preached against the Philistines with his ox goad. We might say Shamgar was the man with the blood red ox goad. If he used that to kill 600 Philistines, I'd say it was dyed red, wouldn't you? That's how Shamgar was. An ox goad is a big, long wooden pole, probably 7 to 9 or even 10 feet long. It was about 2 inches in diameter, so that's about the middle of a baseball bat. It's about how big around it would have been. On one end, it was very, very sharp, and that was used. You can't drive oxen, but they would use that sharp point to goad them, to punch them in the rear and get them to go and get them to work. And then on the other end of that ox goad, it was shaped like a paddle or like a oar of a boat or like the side of a broad knife or an axe. And that was used, if you've ever worked on a plow and you know you pull it out of the earth, and a lot of times it'll have dirt stuck to it. And so they'd use that broad end of that axe goad to knock the mud off of their plows. And so that's what an ox goad was. And so the Bible says that he used an ox goad and he delivered Israel with that ox goad. You might remember in the Bible that when Elijah passed by Elisha and cast his mantle upon him, the Bible said in 1 Kings 19 and 19, it said that Elisha, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, he also worked with oxen. Before God called Elisha, Elisha was busy working in the field. God calls people who are already faithful to something. God uses people, not that we find just sitting around doing nothing, but whenever you find that God calls somebody and God uses somebody, they're already doing something. What I'm saying is this: God doesn't use lazy people. I mean, David was obeying his father when he went out there. David was keeping sheep when Samuel anointed him, and he was obeying his father when he got down there before he got in the fight with Goliath. He went out there because his father sent him out there to check on his brothers and to take some provisions to them. David wasn't just sitting around doing nothing. David was doing something. Moses was tending sheep. We're going to come to Gideon here in a little bit. Gideon was threshing wheat. Peter and James and John, they were all fishing. They were all doing something. They were workers already. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, the Bible says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." We might could say tonight that that is God's number one requirement for service. You got to be faithful. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. God's not interested in how experienced somebody is. A lot of people think that carries a whole lot of weight, but that might be a hindrance. If you got your mind made up, you're going to do it your way and not God's way. God is more interested in somebody being faithful in a little thing and in being available and willing to do what He asks them to do. God's not looking for those that have the most education. Of all the disciples, probably just one or two of them were really what you might say educated. Paul was no doubt at the top of the list, but Peter, James, and John, they were fishermen. That is not the number one thing the Lord is looking for. He's not looking for somebody that's wealthy. He's not looking for somebody that has a lot of influence in the community. He's looking for somebody, first of all, He's interested in our faithfulness. Who can find a faithful man? That's what the Bible says in the book of Proverbs. Shamgar was not of any royal lineage that we know of. He did not have a claim to be a prophet or a priest or a king or anything like that. We don't know about any famous ancestry that he might have had. The son of Anath, it really doesn't tell us very much about him. Who he was. He was just a common man. And he just had a common occupation. He's just a farmer. He's just a plowman is what he is. He's got some oxen and he works with them. But he was just being faithful where he was. And so that's what the Lord's looking for in our lives. God is looking for somebody that'll just be faithful. And Shamgar was faithful. Shamgar, number one, was a worker. Number two, Shamgar was a warrior. The Bible said that after him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad. And he also delivered Israel is what the Bible says. Some would look at Shamgar's ox goad and say, they would say, you can't go to battle with that. That's just something you work out here in the fields with. But Shamgar looked at his ox goad, and what Shamgar saw was Shamgar saw on one end, he saw a spear. That's what he had. He had a spear. And on the other end, he had an axe. And all along the middle, he had a weapon that he could defend himself with. Maybe if somebody came with a sword or a spear, and he could fight with them with that. Other people said, well, that's no different than a hoe or something you'd just work around the farm with. Shamgar saw that he had something that God could use. He had something that he saw as a weapon that the Lord could use, and he was willing to use it in the Lord's service. I'll tell you something worldly about myself. Now, I don't care much for movies most of the time. I mean, if I sit down and watch a movie, it's got to be really good. And there's just not such a thing as really good movies. Every once in a while, I'll watch a movie. But I'll tell you, there's one that I do like, and I've watched it more than once. So if I watch a movie more than once, you know, I probably like it. But I like them Jason Bourne movies. You ever seen them? You know, he was an ex-CIA and he lost his memory and he comes back on the scene. It comes back from death and they're trying to catch him and they're trying to kill him is what they're trying to do. And I'll tell you, he took a magazine and rolled it up and beat the stuffing out of a fellow one time. And then he used that magazine, he crammed it in a toaster, and he knocked the gas loose, and he made the toaster go down, and that magazine caught on fire, and it blowed up that whole building and the bad guy in there. And he just used stuff, you know, everybody else would have said, well, we can't fight that guy, we don't have a gun. Man, he didn't need a gun. He just used a magazine, beat somebody up. I mean, talk about ingenious. When I think about Shamgar, that's sort of what I think about. I think, man, he killed 600 men with an ox goad. He didn't have much, but what he had, he gave it to the Lord, and the Lord really used it. And I know we're talking about killing men here. We're talking about something that's very violent, but the lesson in all of this is that he was willing to use what he had. You'd think that there would be in the nation of Israel, you'd think there would be all kinds of men that would come to the forefront and would say, you know, we're tired of these Philistines. I'm tired of having to go visit mama and walk through all the briars and wade through the creek just to go. I can't even go down the highway anymore. It's so dangerous. You'd think there'd be all kinds of men that would come together and say, we're going to do something about this. But you know, most of them said, boy, I would do something, but I don't have no spear. We don't have any swords. We don't have any shields. We can't fight the Philistines. Shamgar said, I think we ought to just use what we've got. And he used an ox goad and slew 600 Philistines is what the Bible says. Now I know we don't have Philistines and we don't have to go out to battle and we're pretty safe in our lives and our possessions and things, and I thank the Lord for that. But there's a lot of people, they have the same attitude as those that lived around Shamgar. I've heard people say this, if I had $1 million, I'd give to the church. I'd really like to do something. Boy, if I had $1 million, I would go on a mission trip, or I'd use it to buy a lot of Bibles, or I'd help this missionary. I'd do this and I'd do that. You ever heard anybody say anything like that? If we won't use our $10 to be a blessing, then God's probably not going to give us $1 million to be a blessing. If that's our, and I've heard people say that, that's why I said that tonight, but if that's the prerequisite of us being a blessing is if God would give me $1 million, then I would, you know who God uses? God uses people that give of their $10 and give of their $100. There are missionaries all over the world tonight and going and giving the gospel out and doing, really, if you think about it, they're doing amazing things with people that'll just let God use what they have. It may not be $1 million, but God can take our little bit and God can do great things with it. And that's what Shamgar is teaching us, that God can take and bless what we have. And so Shamgar was a warrior. And I say tonight that anybody that really wanted to be involved in the fight, anybody that really wanted to be in the Lord's work, will find a way to make a difference. And there's a lot of examples in the Bible of people that did that very thing. In Acts chapter number 9, there's a lady over there, her name is Dorcas. When she died, it was a great loss to the church, and they brought the apostles in there, and they said, look at these garments that she made. She only had a needle and thread. But she gave what she had to the Lord, and she was a great blessing. There's other people in the Bible. The little boy that gave his 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and David used his slingshot, and the widow who fed and sheltered Elijah, and Joseph gave his tomb, and on and on and on you find through the Bible. If we'll just give our little bit to the Lord, God can take it and use it in a great mighty way. And so Shamgar, all he had was an ox goad. What is the Lord looking for? Number one, he's looking for faithfulness. Number two, he's looking for willingness. And so when we come to Shamgar, we just start where we are and we use what we have. The name Shamgar, it's got two meanings. It means either this, and both of them are good. It can mean a cupbearer, which is a servant, or a sword bearer. And Shamgar was both. He was a servant to the Lord, and he was a warrior. He was a sword bearer. And so Shamgar, he is a warrior. And Shamgar is a worker. And number three, and last of all tonight, Shamgar is a winner. How do we know he's a winner, preacher? Well, he slew, the Bible said, of the Philistines 600 men. And I got to thinking about this as I've read that. I've always supposed that that means that he killed 600 men at once, sort of like Samson over there. But the Bible doesn't say he killed them all at once. That could have been over the span of his career. It really doesn't matter if it was all at once or 5 or 10 at a time. You know, he may have snuck around sometimes, and we just don't know. The Bible doesn't say how he killed 600 Philistines, and it really doesn't matter how he did it or how long it took him to do it. What matters is this: here is God's man, and he is using God's method, which at that time was just an ox goad. And the Lord's ways are not our ways. And God uses the little things and the weak things of this world to confound the wise. God doesn't need an army to get a victory. God needs somebody. God needs somebody that will give what they have to be used of the Lord. And we have God's man, and we have God's method, and we have God's making. Meaning this, the Bible said this in the last part. It said, and he also delivered Israel. He also delivered Israel. He's right up there with all the rest of them. The Bible says a very little about him, but what it says he also delivered Israel, meaning right up there with Ehud. Said a whole lot more about Ehud than it did about Shamgar. But he delivered Israel just the same. It says more about Gideon than it does about Shamgar, but Shamgar just the same as Gideon. He also delivered Israel. And they several chapters about Samson. He's the last one we're going to get to. Probably the last one we'll look at in the book. And there's several chapters about Samson, but Shamgar's right up there with Samson and all the rest of them. He also delivered Israel. He's a winner. Why? Because he followed the Lord. And he gave what he had. Here's a very simple outline for Shamgar, if we think about a simple thing to think about. Just number one, start where you are. That's what he did. He was living in perilous times, and the Philistines were oppressing them. And use what you have. As far as we know, all he had was an ox goad. And he used that ox goad. And number three, do what you can. That's what he did. He did what he could, and he slew 600 Philistines, is what the Bible says. And if we take all that and we apply that to the day and time in which we live, we make a comparison there. Well, we're also living in perilous times. There's some things worth fighting for, and we're going to have to fight for. We're going to have to fight for our homes. We're going to have to fight for our children. We're going to have to fight for our families. I know there's been an election, and we might think to ourselves, well, things will change. And I hope they do, and I hope we have a revival. But, boy, if we let down our guard just a little bit, we'll find the devil sneak around, and he's going to attack, and he's going to attack. He's going to attack our freedoms. He's going to attack our churches. He's going to attack using the Islam and everything he can, everything he can. Satan's not going to take days off. He knows that his time is short, and he has but a little time. And he's not going to let up. And you and I cannot let up. There's some things that in these last days, these perilous times, we're going to have to make up our minds. We're going to have to fight for. Homes, church, the gospel, our community, our homes, our land, our freedoms. The list could go on and on and on. But it ought to encourage us that we come to this fellow named Shamgar. And so I like Shamgar. That's a good little study. And that, like I said, the Bible doesn't say a lot about him, but we learn enough to learn some things that we can apply in our lives. So we'll stop there with Shamgar tonight. And Lord willing, next time we'll get into chapter number 4 and look into that. There's a lot of interesting things in the book of Judges. But I appreciate your good attention tonight.